Hey, it's Tommy Thayer from KISS. You're listening to Podcast Rock City. Check it out.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, what's up, man?
And Mr. Sunny Hollywood Pooty.
I was just thinking, people who don't play the piano right make me hemorrhage in my brain.
Oh my god. My singing was off there. I should hang it up. Hey, let's start with this. There is so much happening in the KISS world and also in the Rush world, and I'm going to make sure that we talk about that because, I wasn't the world's biggest Rush fan, but I was a pretty big Rush fan. So we're going to get right to the news. And I know it's not KISS. But Neil, everybody says his name differently. Neil Peart, however you want to say it. Passed away, man, and it was I didn't even know he was sick. Did you guys know?
Nope.
Those guys are pretty private. They're not guys who put that shit out on TMZ. They're pretty right. Private guys.
Right. So did they say it was brain cancer?
Yeah, I think he's been dealing with it for a while.
Yeah. It's really sad, man. You know, especially there's a real KISS connection there. You know, all weekend long, you had people posting pictures of Rush together with KISS, and I really thought that was touching and great. And I'm really sad, man. It's like it's really sad how his the last bit of his life was kind of a sad thing, you know, with a tragedy that happened, and then, I mean, shoot. Neil Peart, man, you know, our whole lives we're like, yo, Tom Sawyer, you know.
He was first definitely a good drummer, you know. Definitely. I don't really get like all sad when some celebrity dies that I've never met or never, you know. I mean, I like some Rush songs, but I don't have any Rush records or anything like that. But you know, clearly the dude was a killer drummer. Everybody knows that.
Well, the thing that bothers me is that he wasn't old. That's the thing that bothers me. He was only 67 years old. Damn. You know, people live well into their 80s now, and that's just a sad thing that got him. Are you a Rush fan, Sonny?
No, not really. I don't really get the music. It was, I know Jody wants 2-minute songs. I can handle 4-minute songs.
It's the 4 minutes tops, man.
But my problem with Rush was never Neil. My problem with Rush was always Geddy, because just
me too.
The vocals gets to me after a while, right? But I, you know, you got to respect what Neil did. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the best drummers in rock history, if not the best drummer. And I'm surprised he did it as long as he did it, because when you listen to some of that stuff, it's like, damn, that shit's complicated. Like, this isn't. Yes, I'm going to take a shot at Peter Criss. This isn't Peter Criss playing drums, can play it forever kind of thing. This is, you can't do this shit forever.
No, he was definitely a technician, you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe you took a shot at Peter Criss. I bet you think Vinnie Vincent was in KISS in 1991.
I thought he left in 91.
Yeah. Right after the Creatures of the Night, 91.
So you know, to be fair, I did like a lot of Rush. I wasn't the biggest fan. I saw them twice. That was my story about going to see Mr. Big and Rush. You guys have heard it before, where I was super excited about seeing Geddy Lee play, and Mr. Big was awesome, you know. And that was the night that what's his name, Paul Gilbert, got the drill stuck in his hair.
Oh yeah,
they were opening for Rush. That was on, I think, the Presto tour. I'm probably wrong, but I want to say like the Rabbits came out of the Big Hats, and so, you know, yeah. Neil Peart,
great drummer,
67, really great drummer. Okay, so that's enough of that because that's kind of sad. The let's get on to something else. I got to tell you the weirdest fucking thing that happened to me today. And I'm at the grocery store, and I have my headphones on. So Sonny knows what I'm talking about. I use the Bone Conduction headphones, so my ears are not covered. So anything going on around me, I can still hear, it, as well as whatever I'm listening to. I was talking to Karen, and I'm going, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, I'm about to buy some potatoes. I'm going to bake some potatoes tonight. And then all of a sudden I went, hey, hold on 1 second. I'm in the grocery store, and I'm like wandering around, ignoring Karen for the next 30 seconds, trying to find a spot where I can hear the music playing over the PA, you know, in the grocery store. And when I finally get a good spot, I realize they're playing fucking Beth in the grocery store. And it was so weird.
Yeah.
And then for the rest, I told Karen, I was like, it's so strange they're playing Beth in the grocery store. And then when I was at the Apples, I was like, Apples, I hear you calling. Okay.
Was it the Peter version, Eric version?
Look, if it had been the Eric Carr version, I'd have gone up to customer service and been like, turn this shit off now. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what happened to me the other day? I rented a car, and it has Sirius XM, and I haven't listened to Sirius in a while. So I got it on Hair Nation. I'm driving into work, and Rock and Roll Night comes on. The Poison version.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get to work quick enough. God, that's god awful.
What movie? From a movie, right?
It was on some movie back in the day. Like
brutal.
Damn, what was that movie? I don't know, but yeah, I haven't heard that in probably 20, 30 years or something.
You ain't missing much.
You know what I did hear the other day that I used to kind of like back in the day, and it totally sucked to me now, was a Sam Kinison Wild Thing.
Wow.
Maybe the video sold it to me as a young kid or something. But
yeah, that's exactly what sold
it. It's terrible if you just hear it today.
Big boobies. Yeah. That's what sold that.
Yeah, someone requested that at one of my gigs, so I played it for him, and I was like, oh my God, this is brutal. I ended up fading it early just because he's going on and on at the end, man, just screaming and shit.
Oh, I missed Sam. Well, damn it.
He was funny.
If somebody
though.
Requests Rock and Roll All Night by Poison, just say you don't have it. They'll say you don't have Rock and Roll All Night. Say, no, I ain't got the Poison version.
Yeah. Pro tip from Pootie. Yeah, if someone ever requests Rock and Roll Online, I'm playing it straight off of a live. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Okay, so that's what happened to me today. The biggest news of the week, minus the Rush news, was definitely David Lee Roth's first show in Vegas. And how he sounded, and how I thought he looked good. How he sounded, and you know, the headline was like David Lee Roth delights Las Vegas crowd, and I went ahead and posted that because I knew it would get people talking. and they did, and there was a lot of negativity, and it was like, you know, there wasn't one person or two people; it was 20 people. And they were all really upset with how David Lee Roth sounded. And it's like before we started recording, we were talking about it, and the truth is, just like Sonny said, he was never really that great live.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He wasn't really a singer in that. He wasn't, you know, he was more of a talker, I always thought. You guys agree with that?
I do. And my whole thing is that, dude, at the end of the day, you cannot hold senior citizens up to some standard of rock, dude. You can't ask grandpa to fucking rock. I don't care who it is. If it's Paul, it's David Lee Roth, whoever it is, they're not going to be the same as they were in the fucking 70s, dude. Just get that out of your head. It's never going to happen, you know? Like, grandpa loses his chops at the time, you know?
He was dancing, you know, the leg kicks, the stage presence, the conversation, the weird quips. You know, you saw he was wearing a wig at part of the time. He changed his shirt a couple of times. Like, that's just who he is. But if we would have had Facebook, Twitter, and a recorder in everybody's hand in 1988, he wouldn't have really sounded that much better. Because I saw him in 88, and like I told you earlier, he wasn't exactly Pavarotti then either.
Right.
And then again, who is, except for Pavarotti?
Well, he can't rock. He's a senior citizen.
He's dead.
But you know what I'm saying as far as that goes? I mean, if you're a literal senior citizen, you deserve for people to cut you just a little bit of fucking slack, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, it's either that or you got to have an age cap to rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, like sports. You end up, you know, coaching third base, whatever. I don't know.
Sonny, at what age do you become a senior citizen? 50?
It's like 65.
65? I don't know.
No. I think senior citizen age is 50.
No.
I'm just going to let you know.
Oh, well, then I'm a senior citizen.
Son of a gun.
Well, you're not out there trying to sing in front of, you know, 15,000 people. So don't worry about it, Sonny.
Wait, hold on. Sonny, if he walked out on stage in front of 15,000 people, he'd knock that shit out of the park.
Absolutely.
I've seen the video.
I'd just drop my pants, and people would laugh, and I'd laugh with them.
I saw Sonny rock a crowd of about 40 to 50 middle-aged women in Indy one time. And
I saw the video.
I think I might have saw a bra fly onto the stage. I'm not sure.
And I'm just kidding. And it was just like, stop titties. What the hell?
Yep.
That bra was a 38.
And then to top it all off, he jumped up on top of the bar, jumped off, and did a split in midair and touched both his toes.
Boom.
It was off.
All separately. There was a split. I stopped, touched my toes, fell over. I climbed to the bar. It all was done separately.
That's okay. Even stopping, I can't touch my toes. But that's another wound I don't want to open. I'm just kidding. Okay, so, all right, guys. Let's do this. Let's just take a step back. It's rock and roll, man. It's rock and roll. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. You gotta have fun, man. If we're being critics, like brutal critics, it's one thing to say, man, it doesn't sound good, and leave it at that. I get it, you know. But it's, you know, at some point, we can't take it that personal. The guy's 90, and and I get it. He's not. It's just different, man. You're talking about a guy that has lived probably a very rough life, you know, with alcohol and God knows what else. You know what I mean? I at least that's what I think. Am I wrong?
Roth? Oh, yeah. Partied big time. And he's still super cool. Like, I love his podcast. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of his music, really, but, you know, he's still a cool dude.
You can send your hate mail to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. Make it attention, Jody, because David Lee Roth's solo stuff is good. At least the first two
records.
I like
some of the stuff. I'm just saying, in general, I like him better as a person than like a musician.
I get
He's interesting. He's done a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah. He has.
Yeah. I mean, have you watched his podcast? It's crazy.
let's just try to have fun with it, man. I'm just like, I'm like sitting back, and Karen is so excited. She's never seen David Lee Roth. And even though she's not going to see him in his prime, she's still going to get the opportunity to see David Lee Roth. And he's going to have that smile that he has, man, is when he's saying something that's profound as hell to him. It's so great. I'm just saying. And, yeah. You know, he'll sing songs and we'll sing it with him. I'm not even sure I'll be listening to him. I'll be listening to me because I can sing.
Yeah, like we were saying before, when you go to a Kiss concert, it doesn't matter what happens beforehand to me. I liked The Painter because it was quick and easy and got straight to the Kiss. I mean, the opening act is inconsequential to me. But I mean, if it's, at least if it's David Lee Roth, you know, you'll be entertained one way or another, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so any other news you guys see? Oh, there was something else. I did get an email, or actually something on Facebook, from a band called Velvet Insane. And the song's called A Brand New Start. And it was a video with Bruce, and he was holding an iPad or something like that. And he was showing the cover of the record, and he played on A Brand New Start, which is a song from that band, and that's pretty cool, man. How do you get Bruce to play on one of your songs? I would totally get into that opportunity of embarrassing myself with, no, I could never. Oh, I already did. Never mind. I did play with Bruce. I forgot all about it. How's that happen? Yeah, so Velvet Insane, check it out, get the song. It would be cool. Yeah. Anything else, guys? You see anything else?
All I saw was all types of hate for DLR all week. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Poor grandpa. All right. Well, Sonny, you got nothing? Did we lose Sonny?
Sonny, did we lose you? We might have.
You don't think you got mad at me for the senior citizen? I'm kidding.
Who dares wins on Podcast Rock City?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
11, 12. Do, 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 yeah. Okay, so with the news out of the way, let's just get right to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yay!
So, I had a topic, and then I had to put it on hold because I feel like it's going to take more work for this, for the next time we, for the topic that I came up with, and then we have for tonight. So, we put a feeler out there to see if anybody had any questions that we wanted, that, you know, we could answer, and we got quite a few. So, I thought that we would just jump into that. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Joey Quesada. Oh, my God. Joey Quesada's book's out. Okay, on audio, so check that out. His question, on a scale of 1 to 10, how handsome is Joey Quesada?
I'd have to say a 10.
Here, I got an answer for him. He's okay. A 12, but that accent makes him a fucking 15.
Nice.
Joey, if I'm around, you better not start talking. I might just have to super hug you.
Yeah. Did you say super hump him?
Something like that.
Yes. Joey Quesada in his New York accent. Chris Jericho doesn't like it, or he teases him about it. But I think it's awesome. I could watch Joey on his TV show 24 hours a day, especially his stuff. It makes me laugh. Jesus cracks me up. Anyway, yeah, check out the book on audio, audiobook, man. I have to get it as soon as I get paid, because I do a lot of driving and it's going to be awesome to listen to. So let's see. Nick. Oh, man, I'm going to mess that name up. Nick Bergoa. I'm sorry, buddy. What does your parents. Okay, I'll reword this. What do your parents think about your unquestionable loyalty to KISS before and now? I can start. At the beginning, my mom thought I was crazy. At the end, my mom thought I was crazy. What about you, Jody?
My mom was super into helping me become a KISS fanatic because she was kind of into bands herself, not KISS per se, but she was like a Beatles person, you know, but she would always, I'd come home from school and shit and there'd be some surprise KISS thing she had found somewhere or something like that, you know, so she was always way into it as far as helping me get all kinds of cool KISS shit when I was a kid, and then when I was older, she probably thought it was weird that I was still into it, you know.
That's wonderful that she would get you stuff.
Yeah, like, I remember one time I came home and that Kiss Meets the Phantom magazine, she had ran across it, I guess, at a collector's store or something. And I was like, holy smokes, you know, calling my friends immediately. Oh, my God, dude, I got it. You know what I mean? It was cool back in those days, you know, because it was hard to come by a lot of that 70s shit without the internet, you know?
Oh, yeah. What about you, Sonny?
I got two parents that can't spell KISS. My brother's into them as much as I am. My wife tolerates it, keeps giving me KISS presents, which is great. Son loves it. Daughters don't get it.
Yep.
Daughters don't get it. You got to bring them.
I tried. They're not interested. When I told Gianna, I said, you know, KISS came up with all that paint stuff on their faces. She goes, I think that was back in the Victorian times, there, big boy. I don't think that was a KISS.
That's funny. They call you big boy?
No. But...
Okay. I was going to say, that's rough. I didn't say brutal. Okay, so that's what we have to say. Thanks, Nico. Chris Sinzak, some guy. Tonight, his football team almost gave him a heart attack, and then... almost gave him a heart attack again. Those Chiefs. Did you watch that game, Sonny?
That game was nuts.
Dude.
That game was absolutely crazy.
Oh, I kept posting like secret messages online without saying his name until I finally did. He kept messaging me, telling me his little heart couldn't take it. It was crazy. His question is, what is the greatest KISS album ever, and why is it Rock and Roll Over? Chris Sinzak's from Decibel Geek, and he's a know-it-all, so you don't have to really listen to him. Rock and Roll Over is not the greatest.
It's not.
Okay. It really isn't. Rock and Roll Over, great album, but for me, it changes every month. I would definitely say, so we're going to go, what are we going to go with? Like, not live, right?
If you say KISS album, it's any album. So, I mean, it's Alive, dude. That's the best KISS album.
But if I'm going to go with something that's not a greatest hits or a live album, I'll go with... Shoot, that's tough. Nope. For me, probably Creatures.
I thought Love Gun was your favorite album. What the hell?
Oh, it is every week. Come on.
Not for me, dude. My favorite studio is always Dressed to Kill. Favorite overall, always Alive.
Alive. Sonny?
Favorite's not going to change. It's always Asylum. If I got to pick a live album, I always start with Unplugged.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unplugged is awesome.
Make sure you check out Chris Sinzak's show. It's called Decibel Geek, and it is great.
Yes.
Him and Aaron Camaro do the show, and it's always fun and informative. Let's see. Mike Williams. Mikey. 2020 seems to be a lateral year with just the continuation of the end of the road tour and cruise as we see the current calendar of events. What would it take to excite you about the band at this point that they could do? Damn, Mike, Mike is, he has a few shows. He has a couple shows, but right now he's really into KISS Talk. Check that show out too.
I like that one too. Classic Rock Drops is good too, though.
Rock Drops. I guess the thing that would excite me would be for the band to quit and start back up with all girls that play topless.
Kiss Boob 0.0.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, they got to add new songs to the set. I've seen them 7 times on this last year. So adding new songs would be great and changing something about the live show. I really doubt that they will, but it would be great if they did. What about you guys?
The thing that would excite me the most, which would never happen, would be some brand new album that we didn't even know they were working on that just was like, boom, Kiss album drops and have it totally rock. Would that ever happen? Probably not, but still, a boy can dream.
Yes. Sonny?
For me, it would be Bruce's band opens, does like 12 songs. Ace's band is support. They do 12, 14 songs. And then Kiss headlines. And all of the 30 or so, 40 or so songs that you get, none of them repeat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And I know they're listening to the show. That's how you make everything great, guys.
And also, instead of Rock and Roll All Night, Poison comes out and rips Rock and Roll All Night for it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If that's going to happen, then I want Extreme to do Strutter, too.
Yeah. A kiss my ass, like, live show. What about
Anthrax doing She?
Yeah. Gin Blossoms. And then,
oh, no. We're going... rabbit hole. Slow down.
Stevie Wonder comes out.
All right. Now I'm going to mess this name up too. Rizlet. I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. What would you like to see members do post end of the road tour? Paul Stanley. All right, I'll start. Paul Stanley. I would like to see him do something musically. I don't know what. Obviously, he's going to do his other band, but I don't think it would be impossible for him to do another solo album. Maybe it would be. I will tell you that here in Atlanta, we have a radio show called the Von Hessler Doctrine, and there's a guy that impersonates him, and the whole idea of the impersonation is Paul Stanley is about to retire, and he's thinking of hosting a radio show. So he comes on the show every once in a while to host part of the show. And sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's really terrible. Let's see. Gene Simmons, I would love for him to get – I always thought he was a good actor. I'd like to see him get into a couple more movies. Eric Singer – he's really a great drummer. He could do whatever he wants, but I know he's going to be with Alice Cooper again eventually. And then Tommy, maybe, I don't know. I don't think he needs to get back in black and blue and start doing cruises. That's for sure. What should he do? I mean, he could put out a good book, I bet. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's got the stories, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's a lot of... what do you guys think? What would you like to see Paul Stanley do?
I want to see the Soul Station stuff. I want him to mix some Kiss tunes in, maybe drop them an octave or two, and not exactly do it Tom Jones style, but a little bit peppier than that. And, do it in Vegas 2 nights a week so we can go see it.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. Yeah. What about Gene? Let's just stick with Gene and Paul.
For Gene, I think it's movies. I don't think there's probably anything else. He could probably go out with his band again, but I think I would enjoy him better in movies.
He could probably write another book, too, if he wanted to. Just take it over from where he left off.
Yeah.
Jody?
Gene and Paul, you know what I'd really love to see and I hope that happens for real is I hope that once Kiss is kind of retired, whatever, they could focus their time on, like, archiving shit and starting to release all whatever the hell they got on video. You know what I mean? There's got to be some stuff, right? That's all I really want. You know, like when, like all these bands like Hendrix or even the Ramones nowadays, there's all these, you know, 40th anniversary releases and shit like that. That I would love to see from Kiss. You get a DVD of some shit we haven't seen. You know, we've talked about it a billion times, but that's still what I want. I'm hoping when the band's done playing a lot, they can focus on that and there'll be some shit leaking. Because, I mean, think about it. Just a couple weeks ago, someone leaked a different Night of Coventry that had never been seen, really, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there.
Earliest footage ever, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I think it predated the ones that we'd seen in the last 10 years or whatever. They were on Kissology and all that. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just cool.
That was crazy. Sonny, did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about when Jody was talking. If I had my wish, I wish they would go buy all the shit from Universal and keep it in the family. Like everything that happens, Paul and Gene control. And when they're gone, then I guess the Knicks and the Evans of the world control it or whatever. But you got to get it all away from Universal. Pay what it costs to get it back.
Yeah.
I used to think that was the problem with Kiss, is they didn't own their masters, so they couldn't release all this cool shit. But lately, they've been doing them, like these Orange Resurrected and all this stuff. But it's weird, because I haven't really cared. You know, and I always said that that's what I wanted them to do. I don't know. I just want video footage, man. I want to see Kiss, you know? And the earliest possible footage, all the way up to the end, you know? All of it. Just let us see all of it. They used to be on top of the, like, home video game. You know what I mean? Starting with the Animalize thing and then Expose and then the whole series of videos. They all did really well. And then they just stopped doing it. Are they really out of material as far as that goes? I just can't imagine that that's true.
It is a weird thought to think that they don't have any more video footage.
Yeah, it's like they kept going all consistently all the way through the third Kissology and then nothing else. Except that Vegas thing, I guess, right? Or Symphony. Yeah. But still, I want like the old school classic home video format where they use a few interviews and some killer new footage. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like a modern day Exposed.
Yeah, that would be good. thanks for your question. Let's see. Oh, you didn't do Gene, did you? Is that the same with Gene?
Yeah, I want those two to come together and make it happen. And as far as Eric Singer, I think that he could go on and actually front a band because he's got a great voice. I'd be interested in that.
Oh, that would be cool to see.
Yeah, have him find a different drummer and he could sing the Badlands songs. Go out on a tour, Badlands. Be awesome.
Man. For him to sing those Badlands songs.
You never know. He's never been pushed like that. He could probably do stuff we're not even aware of.
Bill Algy, our boy Bill, he sent and said, how should End of the Road tour in New York City location, band members, etc. I read how should end the End of the Road tour. All right, how should they do it? Location, band members, etc. If it was up to me,
talk about this every week. We talk about this every week.
Everybody should be there, as far as I'm concerned, and they got to find a place to play. It's tough. Just because how many people are going to want to be at that show? They've got to do it in a place big enough. And finding that place is going to be hard. I mean, we've discussed this. So go back, if you guys are interested, go back to last week. Weren't we talking about it last week?
We were.
And we really went in a little more detail. But it's just going to be hard to figure it all out. But everybody should be there, and anybody that wants to see it should have the opportunity to see it. And we really, really think that it should be the Alive two stage that they rebuild. Okay. Christopher Powell, do you honestly think Kiss would sound better as a band if Ace came back and replaced Tommy? My answer is no.
No, they're not getting any better. They wouldn't be much worse or anything, but they're not getting any better just because of Ace. Not
better. The only difference would be, you know, it would be more authentic. Ace is playing the solos. But then we got to drop, like, anything that came after, you know. No Say Yeah, which I guess is okay.
Right.
What do you think, Sonny?
I love Ace, but this is a hell no. This is a hell no for me. I'm sorry. I love Ace, but it's not going to sound better with him replacing Tommy right now. I like what you said, Joe. All it would be is more authentic. It would not be better.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be more authentic. Let's see. What about you, Jody?
I just think, you know, it's not going to get any better, but I don't think it would be, like, super worse or anything because of Ace. I love Ace, but, I mean, Tommy does it just fine, and it's more reliable. Who knows what's going to happen with Ace, which is kind of cool. You want a little bit of danger in your rock group, right? But, I don't know. I've settled into Tommy after all these years. And the last few times I saw Ace, you know, I forgive him a lot because he's a senior citizen, too, but the dude, he's... You know, he's not what he once was, but I still love the guy, and I'll go anywhere he is if I can. You know what I mean? He's just one of those guys. But, and,
you know,
Tommy's still got the chops now, where Ace doesn't really, you know?
Yeah, he can't hear. He's chucking water bottles at fuckers on the side of the stage. Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
let's see.
A little too much.
Brendan Castle, if you met any member of the band, who was your favorite and why, and what was the experience? Jody's is great. Tell him, Jody.
Yeah, we've told it before. Probably it was the Ace Day. It was probably my favorite of all the times I met anyone in Kiss. When I met Gene and Paul back in the convention, it was the cattle herding thing, so that wasn't really too exciting. And I don't know. I got to spend a little time with Ace, so it was really, like, a lot of time, really. So that was just super cool for me. What about you guys? Yours had to be Gene in his up in his hotel room, right, Joe?
That was pretty awesome. His room on the cruise, when Shannon came walking in, and we ate and we hung out, and we were the last people to leave. Of course, we were just the last people that our buddy got his base because somebody bought a base, and on the cruise that meant we got to go up to his room and have. It was like, I don't remember, cake, of course, and that was pretty amazing. Sonny's story is good too.
Yeah, I've met I've met Gene, Eric, Tommy, Bruce. Those are the guys I've met. You know, I was at the first vault, so Gene was nothing but nice, very, very gracious with his time, etc. But I would tell you that the funnest time I had was actually with Tommy. Meeting Tommy was pretty fun, and he seemed like a normal guy, and we got to interview him, and, you know, we asked him to do the bumper. He told everybody shut the hell up. That was awesome. Yeah. So I enjoyed my time with Tommy.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. Lee McCormick. Lee.
He's awesome.
He's another awesome guy. What were your first Kiss shows? Mine was Toronto, January 14th, 1983. Okay, I've said this before. I don't know which tour I was seeing because I was little, but it was either Love Gun or Alive 2. What about you guys?
Mine was Crazy Nights.
Crazy. Who was opening?
Oh, God. Fucking Ted Nugent. Oh, brutal.
The Motor City Ride Man.
One thing that did impress me, though, about Nugent that night was... He was up. There was like these stacks above the drum riser, and he was standing up and on top of those stacks, and he jumped out over the drums and like landed on his knees and shit, and just kept wailing on.
Yeah, he did that when we saw him too. Yeah,
that was impressive, but man, I've never been a fan of his music. I just can't. You know, he can't do it.
Sure. You know, hey, you want to know something about, you know, when you saw the Crazy Nights show, Ted Nugent was not a senior citizen at that point. I bet
if he
now,
was, his knees would have exploded, dude.
Sonny.
Actually, that Crazy Nights tour, when I saw Ted, it made me go buy his stuff. Because really? I enjoy more Ted Nugent than I do Rush, to be honest. And I enjoy more than just the hits. He didn't have, you know, besides probably Stranglehold and Cash Rats Fever, I don't know if he had any major, major hits. But there's probably about 12 or 15 songs I really like. So it's good stuff.
I've heard a few I don't mind.
Yeah.
I heard this one called Hey Baby. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
My first Kiss show was Asylum, Wasp Open, 86.
That's awesome. The ultra-large Kiss logo. Did yours have the stairs on Bruce's side that went nowhere?
I'm not sure. I was so... it was my second show ever, so I was just enamored by all the women that were there. totally. I don't know if I remember any stairs.
You know, that's a thing of the past, too, man. You go to a show now, it's not that huge. There's not a big, huge percentage of, like, scantily clad, hot 80s, you know, women like there used to be.
Well, there are. They're just 80.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I was, like, a, you know, 12 years old going to shows, my mom would drop me off out in front of the Keel. I guess it was the Checker Dome back then, but you'd walk in, and it was like, oh, my God. Everywhere you looked. Nothing but, like, unbelievable women everywhere. You know, I love that aspect of shows. If you go to an arena show today, it's like, you know, 13,000 unattractive old 40-year-old dudes just like me. Not quite as exciting.
Podcast Rock City.
Yeah!
If it's too loud, you're too old.
So we lost Joe because the Atlanta Wi-Fi absolutely sucks. So we've got three or four more questions to go. So Jody and I decided to finish it off. So the next question we got is from Gary Smith, and he's got a two-parter. Will David Lee Roth really be able to sell enough tickets for what we're paying him? Guesses on that one. Kiss isn't paying him, right? Live Nation's paying them.
Right. I think that in certain markets, David Lee Roth probably sells more tickets than Kiss. Like here in St. Louis, I bet you it sells out day of because Kiss is like way into, like Keishi has played Van Halen and Sammy Hagar relentlessly since I was a kid. You know what I mean? It's one of those towns where they do really well. And he hasn't been here in a long fucking time as far as I know. So I'm pretty sure he'll sell more than Kiss does at that show here in St. Louis, if it ever gets
announced. There's people talking about he'll be selling half the stadium, which, you know, or the arenas or whatever they play, which, right. If he went out on his own, he could play to 10 to 15 grand every night, no problem, right?
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't think Kiss needed the help, though. That's why it's weird that they all of a sudden, I mean, were that many people complaining about the painter or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with complaining about Painter. The only reason to pay David is you don't think you can sell it. That's the only reason.
Maybe the Live Nation thinks since they've already been on this tour for however long, seems like a pretty long time, maybe they figure people aren't going to keep going and going and going, you know?
And maybe it's I guess we didn't think about this. Maybe they were worried that Def Leppard tour was going to pull money away.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That Motley and Def Leppard end up pulling people to them, so they got to spruce up their show by pulling it back this way.
Yeah. I hadn't considered that, but I bet you that has something to do with it. Because people seem like that's going to be a successful tour somehow. I'm not sure how, but we'll see.
Second part of Gary's question was, did the video or audio that we saw the other night help or hurt David. I'll tell you, the first time I saw the video, I'm like, I watched it, and I'm like, oh boy, train wreck. But then I kept watching because David's one of those guys that you don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Right? Whether the sing is good or not, whatever. But he was never my favorite Van Halen singer anyway, so whatever. But he's dangerous enough to, it's like, okay, what next crazy thing's going to happen? So I'm still going because I still want to see it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad seeing him. You know what I mean? I saw him when I was a kid on the skyscraper tour, and he came surfing down from the ceiling onto the stage on a fucking surfboard rocket thing. And then he had a boxing ring that floated out in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was a big show. And your favorite band, Poison, opened that show.
Oh, my God.
That was, like, before they put out that second record. So it was, like, they were, I guess, still touring on their first one because they were still super glammy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't so bad.
A few more questions here. Nirend Kavura, our buddy. If Kiss did the last concert in Central Park, do you think that the attendance would be greater than Garth Brooks? Garth Brooks play Central Park? I didn't know that. Yeah. How many countries do you think would be represented? Well, the country one. Good Lord.
All the same ones that are on the boat every year, probably. You know?
Yeah.
Those are hardcore people that would make the trip and probably go to the boat every year. Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
Anybody's got money in Australia, Japan, right?
Yeah.
Those guys would make it. You know, would it sell more than Garth Brooks?
I think so, because they're from New York City. Garth Brooks wasn't, was he? I mean, he's from Nashville or something, right?
And it's the end, right? So
yeah.
I think he would get more, probably.
Yeah, I do too. Plus, Kiss has become one of those bands where, you know, they play on the fucking Olympics and shit. They're like big-time pop culture, way more than they were when Garth Brooks played that in the 90s or something. You know what I mean? Kiss could do it and do it huge.
Next one, Javier Boaster. If the band would have made a video for one of the new songs on Killers, which song would you want a video for?
For me, Nowhere to Run.
That's the best song, but would it make the best video?
Yeah, it could be like a Terminator-style video where you're constantly being chased, but there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that it's get you. I don't know. No, down in your knees would be like a porn video, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might enjoy that just like all night. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, I guess we would come down to what they did with it. You know what I mean? But just based on the song, Nowhere to Run all day long.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Larry Vecchia asked, why choose DLR as the opener? I think we already talked about is to sell tickets or either to pull them away.
Yeah.
Steve Wright from Potter Than Hell had a good question. Do you think that Paul would have carried on with Kiss if Gene would have actually had a huge movie career? Let's say he broke out as a star. He's going to be the next, you know, Indiana Jones or whatever. Right. Paul keep going.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he kept going while that was happening to some degree. You know what I mean? He took over, kept the band going. So, yeah, Paul, in those times in the 80s, there was no fucking stopping him no matter what Gene did. You know what I mean? That's how I think it would have went. I don't know who they would have got. Yeah, maybe Blackie Lawless.
Yeah, and he would have kept the name and he would have kept going. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and even if he didn't keep the name, he was a big enough star at the moment. He could have just become the Paul Stanley Band or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Star Child, whatever.
All right, next two more questions. Ken Block Jr. asked, what's your favorite Paul Stanley guitar over the years? His is the Hamer Scarab. Mine's still that crackle, and the purple crackle's even better.
Yeah, I like. Do you remember when he had the crackled fucking BC Rich? Like, that was cool on Animalize. I always thought that looked really cool. My favorite though has always been the it's a BC Rich, the like leopard print. I think it's a Warbird. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a Creatures guitar. Leopard print.
Oh, yeah, the one that's on the purple poster.
Yeah, double cut, leopard print, two EMGs. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. And our last question came from Cassius Morris, our buddy Cassius. Hope you're good out there.
What's up, yeah. Parishes?
Do you want Kiss to keep touring or stop with the current tour?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bug me that they're out there doing it, but it seems like it has lost a lot of the momentum it had when they started. You know, when a tour goes on multiple years, it kind of runs out of steam eventually, right?
Yeah, I think Kiss should be done. I think it's time to do whatever is going to be next, because you know, whatever Paul and Gene are going to do, they're going to do. But Eric, especially, just like you said, he could go front his own band for the next, you know, 2-3 years or whatever, and be damn good at it.
Yeah.
Or join somebody that, you know, is already established or whatever, or do his own thing. Who knows? But I think it's time for what's next. You know, you can't keep reading the same chapter over and over. You got to get to the next chapter.
Yeah. Well, we got about a year and a half of that, apparently. So, and this year doesn't look all, I mean, there's shows and the cruise. So the next year will be all like probably prepped for that final show then, huh?
I think this year it should be interesting. I'm telling you, Roth is going to say something and then have to apologize. He's either going to say something about women or hashtag me too, or say something about Gene and his, you know, dresses he was wearing in Asylum or some shit. He's going to say something that's going to get him in trouble, and then he's going to have to apologize. I just see that coming.
Roth has a room to talk about the Asylum garb when he was wearing those assless chaps on Yankee Rose. You know what I mean? Dancing around with a fucking big phallic microphone and shit. Who's he kidding? It was just a bad era for all involved. Even Ozzy looked all fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right, well, that's pretty good questions for, I think everybody had about 2.5 hours sending them in, so we got a good amount of questions. Yeah.
Joe was like, what are we going to do? I said, do we have enough time for a Q&A? I don't know. And then I guess we did.
Yeah, no doubt. So, any last words there, sir?
Nope. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week, I guess. You?
Yeah, just want to thank everybody for the feedback, et cetera, and you know we love Kiss podcasts and all other kinds of podcasts, and you're going to hear the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
voice. Your mind speaks to us.